know that I don't always teach the right thing. I'm hoping you got your truth filters on.
Yeah.
But I don't want to be a false teacher.
No.
Okay? I may say something wrong, and it might be a wrong teaching, but I don't want to be a false teacher.
No.
I want my heart to be true and pure, and I want my intentions to be right.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be sanctified.
Yeah.
I want to be, that's what the word sanctified means. It means separated, cleansed,
purified. Yeah.
Uh-huh. I want to be that sanctified.
That's
vessel.
Good, right?
Yeah.
That's good.
That the Lord can use
that's
to
good.
Speak to people.
Uh-huh. And if you're like that, God would get that corrected teaching to you.
Yes.
Or some teaching is not wrong. It's for a certain level.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's for a certain level. Then God expected you to go to another level
mm-hmm.
of teaching. Certain things is just milk.
Yeah.
But then sometimes he wants you to get to the meat
yeah.
of the word.
Uh-huh. Amen. Amen. That's good. So, nothing
good. Oh, reminder and then encouragement and the challenge.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
It's very
whoa.
Wordy. And I was asking, well, should I give him the words or not? You know,
it's real easy.
Yeah.
That's better. So just listen closely.
Church, arise and put your armor on. Hear the call of Christ our captain. For now the weak can say that they are strong.
Yes.
In the strength that God has given.
Jesus.
With shield of faith and belt of truth, we'll stand against the devil's lies. An army bold, whose battle cry is love, reaching out to those in darkness. Our call to war, to love the captive soul, but to rage against the captor, and with the sword that makes the wounded whole, we will fight with faith and valor. With shield of faith, and with faith and trials on every side, we know the outcome is secure. And Christ will have the prize for which he died, an inheritance of nations.
Yes.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he gave us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
Yes.
That is an inheritance, imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, reserved in heaven for you.
Amen.
Where love and mercy meet,
Jesus.
As the Son of God is stricken, then see his foes lie crushed beneath his feet, as the conqueror has risen, and as the stone is rolled away, and Christ emerges from the grave. This victory march continues till the day every eye and heart shall see him.
Yes.
So Spirit come,
Jesus,
with strength in every stride, give grace for every hurdle, that we may run with faith to win the prize of the servant good and faithful. With shield of faith and belt of truth, we'll stand against the devil's lies and arm. bold and tough.
His battle cry is love.
Yes.
Reaching out to those in darkness.
Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace.
Yes.
Taking on the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank Amen. You, Jesus.
Amen. 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 That was good. It was really good. We seem to be talking about truth today, don't we? And that's good. Because, you know, 2 Peter is all about the knowledge of the truth.
Yeah.
The knowledge of the truth. All against false teachers for the knowledge of the truth. Got your sheets? I see some of y'all got your sheets. Did you have any questions about it? Is there anything you wanted to cover in these sheets? That I know we talked about it just briefly last time. But we can go and look at some of it if we need to, and we might do it as we go through here. I did want to push on and look at 2 Peter 3, where we talked about how the elements were going to dissolve, melt with fervent heat. This old earth is going to pass away, all right? We talked about that a little bit last time. I kind of wanted to finish up and direct your attention to a couple of verses in Revelation to help us understand, what does it mean, pass away? What does it mean it's going to pass away? All right? So if you look at me, look with me at 2 Peter 3:10, and it says, "But the day of the Lord..." Okay, now the day of the Lord is a phrase that's used throughout the Old Testament, the prophecies in the Old Testament. Talking about the day of the Lord. It says, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. We've heard that before. We've heard that preached a lot. Mm-hmm. Into which the heavens shall pass away. With a great noise. Boom, it's going to be a huge noise. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Would you like to see that? No, you don't want to see that. Were you going to be to see that? No, I'm joking. I'm sorry. But, you know, this is a big thing. All right? This is, you know, wow, everything's going to be burned up. I don't want to be on the earth when it all happens to you. I mean, it's going to be tough. So, but now, you turn over to Revelation 20:11. That's the great white throne judgment passage there. And if I'm going to teach from Revelation, all roads lead to Revelation. Is that
right?
If I'm going to teach from Revelation, I'm probably going to be teaching from the last two or three chapters. You know, there's a lot of that other stuff. It's just, you know. But in Revelation 20:11, this is pretty clear cut. All right? I mean, it's pretty obvious what's happening here. There's a great white throne. White is a symbol for purity. All right? And him that sat on it, this is verse 20, chapter 20, verse 11 in Revelation. And him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Okay? Wow. The earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Yeah, really, you have to think about that a minute. you know, okay, they're gone. They're gone. And then, of course, it goes on to talk about the people appearing before the throne, right? Mm-hmm. And we won't go into all that, but, you know, that's what happens after this. Earth and heaven and the earth pass away. Whoa. Led away. Ran away. And then the people come before the throne for judgment, right? And so, now I want you to just turn the page and go to Revelation 21, verse 1. All right? And remember, we Revelation 21, uh-huh. verse 1.
Okay.
Yes. Now remember, in 2 Peter 3:10, it said, the heaven shall pass away with a great noise. Now let's read 21:1. It says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. Mm-hmm. There's that same phrase, that same word there. Mm-hmm. It's like the passing of time or perishing. They passed away. Mm-hmm. And there was no more sea. Mm-hmm. Okay? So here we come again. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And it says, for, or because. Because the first heaven and the first earth passed away. Why do you need a new earth? Why do you need a new heaven? Because the first one's gone. You see, the first one has passed away. It got burned up with fervent heat. Okay? Don't want to live there anymore, right? So here's now God saying, I'm going to have a new heaven and a new earth. A new heaven and a new earth. And this new heaven and new earth, we have to keep this on a level where we can understand it, all right? And it can mean something to people around us. I was talking to a person, a lady who, her father had died, okay? And her father had been a pastor, and he had served the Lord all of his life faithfully, you know. And so when he passes away, of course, you know, she's grieving over him. She really misses him and all that. And she said, I wonder what he's doing right now. And I said, he's doing what he's always done. What? I said, he's doing what he's always done. He's doing what he did here on earth. He's doing what he's always done. Of course, that confused her, right? Mary says, yeah, it confuses me. What are you talking about? he's doing what he's always done. He's always assisting Jesus. Mm-hmm. When he was on earth, he was assisting Jesus in getting the gospel out, mm-hmm. in getting salvation out to the people, in getting the good news to people. That's what he did when he was on earth. He just kept doing it, you know. Now, where is he going now? He's going to be with Jesus, right? To be absent from the body is to be
present with the Lord.
Yeah, okay. So he's there. Well, what's he doing there? He's assisting Jesus in what Jesus is doing, mm-hmm. right? What's Jesus doing? He told us what he's doing. He told his disciples, John 14, right? I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you. Mm-hmm. Where's he going? He's leaving earth, right? He was telling them, I'm leaving earth. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Yeah. Right? And if I prepare a place for you, right, mm-hmm. then for sure I'm going to come back and receive you unto myself, that where I am, yeah. going to prepare a place for you, there you may be also, right? So he's preparing a place for us. So I told the girl, I said, I don't know this for a fact, but it certainly sounds reasonable that your father, who worked for the Lord all his life, is now up there working for the Lord. He's helping Jesus prepare a place, right? He's helping Jesus prepare a place. for us all to be in. What is this place? What is this place that he's preparing? Say it louder, Mary. Say it loud.
A new heaven and a new earth.
A new heaven and a new earth. That's what he's preparing. All right? That's where we're going to be. Now, why is it so important that we have a new heaven and a new earth?
Because the old one.
Come on, come on.
Been done away with.
That's right. The old one has passed away. There is no place. Okay? There is no place. You ever go into your house and you're putting stuff away, you know? And you got something. Mary laughing over there. And you find something and there's just no place for it. You know, it's like, I just don't need this anymore. It's time to give it to the thrift store or whatever, you know. It's just, I don't have a place for this, right?
Yep.
There's no place for it. It's going to hit the trash can or it's going to hit the thrift store or whatever, depending on how good it is. But, you know, there's no place for the old heaven, the new old earth. There's no place found for them. They're just going to hit the incinerator, right? They're going to be burned up with fervent heat. Loud noise, boom, you know. It's going to be like an atomic bomb just all over the universe. Going to take off. Okay? So he says, so we're in this new place. Well, what is this new place like? Gee whiz, right? We would like to know a little bit about this new place, wouldn't we? And he spends, of course, the rest of Revelation 21 and part of Revelation 22 telling us a little bit about this new heaven and new earth. All right. I just wanted to bring out one of them. Let's look down at verse 4. Well, first off, he says in verse 1, he says, and there was no more sea. There was no more sea. Okay, well, what does that mean, sea? What does that mean, there's no more sea? And I'm going to leave that mostly for Monty to explain to you. But I will say this. Back in those days, the sea was a fearsome thing. The sea, you had to be brave to get out on the sea, all right? Yeah, I mean, you know, sailing on a ship on that Mediterranean, you know, ocean, that was fearsome. Storms could come up. We know about the storms, just about every story we hear about the Mediterranean Sea, there's a storm, right? I mean, Solomon sent some ships and they didn't make it. Jonah got on a ship and a big old storm came up. I mean, just about everything you hear about getting on a ship, there's a problem, right? And the sea is just, Sea of Galilee. Think of how many storms that they had on those, you know. That's just a little old bitty piece of, you know, water. So when he says there's no more sea, you know, I have to worry about the sea anymore, all right? Now, sea can also be a symbolic thing, all right? And that's, I'll let Brother Monty deal with that. But sea also refers to many, many peoples, many different kinds of peoples. And we won't go into that. But anyway, look at verse 4. And it says here, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For, or because, the former things are
passed away.
Okay? All of these things passed away with the old heaven and then the old earth, right? All of these things, crying, death, sorrow, pain.
Boy, it sounds like no more
devil. It does, doesn't it? It does. So, let's see.
Now, that's a place I want to live in. That's where I want to be.
So, I wanted to go back and I want to pick that up and point that out to you, okay? Mm-hmm. There's a reason why some things are going to be done away with.
Yeah.
All right? And so, be happy, be glad. Some of this stuff is going to be done away with, you know? It's really good. So, now let's get back to the...
Is that one way? I know why God destroys it, because of all the unrighteous and evil, but also all the blood that's been shed here.
Yes, yes.
And so all the sin, he just takes the blood of righteousness from the new one.
And not only that, the earth
all the hurricanes and rock, all that's part of the earth, the earthquakes, and that's just built in it.
Yeah.
Because of all the sin that's built in.
That's true.
Now, if you'll remember, he was saying, in chapter 3, he was saying, if you remember, well, let's look at verse 15, and we can refer back to the other two. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Well, this is 2 Peter 3, all right?
2
Peter 3. Okay. Now, we're going back to 2 Peter. We're not going to stay in Revelation, Mary.
Yeah, still in Revelation.
Some roads lead from Revelation. So, account, and this is 2 Peter 3:15. It says, an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our own beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. And, of course, what he's referring to there is, he says, there's some scoffers that come. Remember that passage? He said, there's some scoffers come and say, where is he? Where's the promise of his coming? For everything is continued as they have been since the beginning, you know. And then Peter said, but I want to remind you that a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. Mm-hmm. All right? And, of course, he refers to that again here. He says the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation because he's not willing for any to perish, that all come into eternal life. So I don't know if I said this before. I'll just say it again, though, if I haven't. I heard a guy teaching about, and he mentioned that. He says, you know, how long has it been since Jesus was on the earth? Just round numbers.
2,000 years.
2,000 years, right? So when Jesus said, I come quickly, was he lying? That's 2,000 years. Well, to the Lord, that's like what?
2 days.
2 days. 2 days, you see. And I had never thought of it that way.
Well,
you see?
When you define quickly and soon, sometimes you say, I come soon, I come quickly.
Sure.
Those are expectations. That's not a time.
Exactly, exactly.
I remember when in Fullerton, what is public? Gardendale. Kept saying, coming soon.
Coming soon.
Coming soon. Coming soon.
Yes.
And it was a year or so after, you know, but it gave the people the expectation.
Exactly.
Quickly and soon is not exactly time.
Right.
It's expectation. It puts you in the expectation. Then public finally said, coming in November.
Right.
Then that November of whatever year it was, then that defined a time. But quickly, soon, those are expectations, not time.
Exactly right. And let me add to that. I'm glad you brought that out. If we had a friend or a relative that lived in, we'll say, California, all right, and they said, I'm coming to see you soon. That would say something different to us than if we had a relative or a friend that lived in Calera and said, I'm coming to you soon. I'm mm-hmm. going to come see you soon. That would be a different expectation, would it?
Yeah.
Right? That would be a different expectation. And if we lived over in some remote part of the world that didn't have automobiles or trains or planes, and they said, I'm coming soon. It might be, how long is it going to take them to walk there?
Yeah.
So our expectation has to be, the word soon kind of has to be linked up to how far is it going to take you to come, or what, you know, what all you got to go through to get
That's
here,
good.
You see.
That's good. And another thing I want to point out here, that Peter was allowing people to know that God does not live in time. Time is a gift to man.
Amen.
And he had to put the 1,000 days as one day, because God don't
yes.
live in time.
Yeah.
But he deals with man in time, because mm-hmm. he give it to us as a gift. Amen. Time is a gift. If we didn't have no time to get here this morning, And we had said, just come whenever you want to. I hate my sister-in-laws and things, when they give stuff, you know, family things, they just say, just come when you want to. Just come at babysitter time. You're dealing with people that will come here at midnight. That will come here at 11. That come here, you know, at different times.
Yeah.
And when I get things at my house for the family, I would always say, a time.
Yeah.
Okay, I expect you guys to be here at 2, because if you come here at 11, 11:30, you're not getting in my house at night. I'm not going to stay up, because they got some of the younger people that just want to just say, oh, we go through about 11, you know, tonight or something, you know, when we're out, when we get.
And
no, baby.
All the other stuff.
I am going to be in bed. I don't open it up to any time.
Yeah.
I'm giving you a certain time.
Yeah.
You know, they just say any time. You know, come on now, y'all. Let's kind of pull this thing together. Let's put a time to it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But Peter was letting the people know, God do not live in time. Y'all in time, but he's not. A day is 1,000 to him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not in time. That's, see, you letting them know, God don't live in time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Well, speaking of time, we're out of time. So.
We way out of time, right?
I know.
You don't put us way out of
time. My clock hadn't come in the door.
So I think we have a good breakfast over there. I got looking at it, and my mouth started watering. So let's go ahead and have a.
We do before you pray with us. We give some of the directions. They left this from yesterday, so just go into whatever you want. It's a lot there. Just whatever thing you would like to eat.
Okay.
You can go ahead and bless it.
All right. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Your word is truth, and you are the way, and you are the life.
Jesus, yes.
So we pray that you will continue to sanctify us by your word, for your word is truth.
Mm.
Cleanse us, Father. Separate us, and make us powerful in your kingdom.
Jesus.
For the saving and the help of people around us. Bless this food, may it nourish and strengthen our bodies, and may our fellowship today be uplifting and encouraging to each one of us. Amen.